Well, I was torn this week between preaching about Naaman, because it's fun, and about Galatians, which is what the Holy Spirit wanted me to preach about, so Galatians is what we get. Which is also kind of fun. Galatians, if nothing else, and this is just a sign that I'm still hardly entirely mature, I enjoy preaching out of Galatians because Luther hated it so much. It was one of the books that he put in his appendix. He had Revelation there because he said a revelation is supposed to reveal, not confuse. And he put Galatians in there because he said it's just a watered-down version of Romans, which I'm not entirely sure is true, but you know, who am I to argue with Luther? But the fact that I find a certain amount of enjoyment out of it just demonstrates that, well, I'm still the kid that drove my older brother crazy in some small ways. And as I was looking at it, there's a number of sort of different directions we can go when we're looking at this passage. But the one that caught me is that whole, is it, it all revolves around verse 9, where, depending on which translation you use, we're exhorted not to become weary in doing good. Don't get tired when we're doing good. And says at the proper time, we'll harvest if we don't give up. And so, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And it's not that Paul is telling us to ignore people who are not believers, of course not. But he's saying, don't forget that you are connected in a community and that you have responsibilities within a community. And sometimes people forget that. And I don't think we do, but obviously Paul was aware of at least some people who did. So he put that in there to make sure that they did that. And as I was looking at that, I thought, do we become weary in doing good? Well, yes, I think we can. I think being a good parent, for example, is exhausting, especially in the early days. You know, what do they say? The average sleep deficit at the end of the first year per parent is 3,000 hours. Which explains why all new parents never look as good as the baby. You know, the baby always looks, you know, round and happy and healthy, and the parent looks kind of gaunt and like they might have the flu. And it's just, you know, tiredness. So yeah, of course we can become weary in doing good. But as I was thinking about this, and as I was thinking about where Paul is going in Galatians and in other places, the thing that I kept coming back to me by is that it's easier to become weary doing a thing if you're tired already. When I was playing soccer back when the world was young, and so was I, I worked in a warehouse, and on your feet all day in steel-toed boots does not prepare you well to run around for 90 minutes. At least it didn't prepare me, and I don't think anybody does particularly well. And I noticed fairly soon that, yeah, I did not play as well in weeknight games, as I did on the weekend. And so I tried to ameliorate that as best I could by, you know, well, slacking off a certain amount, let's be honest, but tried to, you know, do whatever I could to not exhaust myself, first of all. And so I started thinking about that, and the thing that struck me, and once again, this just is not directed at anyone, it's not, or anything, but I thought, trying to look good as a Christian is exhausting work. Because it really is. Because I did it for years. When I was in my late teens, early 20s, I had no interest in things of faith, but I liked singing in the choir, and I didn't particularly enjoy embarrassing my parents. I wasn't one of those kinds of kids. We had our own challenges, but you know, I wasn't pleased when people thought my parents had done something wrong simply because I had done something wrong. So I behaved as if I was a believing person. This is exhausting work. I don't know how actors do it. Being someone else, trying to be someone else, is just so difficult. I remember a very, well, I find it kind of amusing story that Nadia Bowles Weber, a Lutheran minister, says that she was doing visitation in the hospital once and was meeting one of her parishioners at that time. And at the end of the visit, there's a sweet little old lady in the bed, also in the ward. And she asked, "Is there anything you'd like me to pray for or anything of that nature?" And the woman said, "Oh, no, dear, I'm an atheist." And Nadia said, "Oh, really? How do you do that? I tried it, and it's just so much work." And I thought that sort of, because that was the flip side of when I was trying to behave and look like I belonged in church on Sundays. I was also trying to convince myself that there was no God, there was no nothing. So I was exhausted all the time. This is a mental exhaustion rather than a physical exhaustion. But I was thinking about this, and I thought, you know, one of the most tiring things to do is to not be yourself. And so if we feel a compulsion to always present the same look to everyone, or at least the same look to various groups of people, it will eventually wear us out. Because we all have good days and bad days. We have days when it seems like everything is going exactly as we want it to. And those are easy days. And then we have days where nothing is going like we want it to. And if we somehow behave exactly the same all the time, we're putting on an act one way or another, at least now and then. July is probably my most tempting month to put on a face, because July is not an easy month for us. There's all kinds of remembrances of people dying in July, but there's also, I got engaged in July. Doesn't get much better than that. We have birthdays in July, and July is just it's a heavy month. And I'm one of those people who keeps track of those things, at least my subconscious does. And it wasn't until Friday that I realized that I had been subconsciously / intentionally pushing some of those things away, because they're kind of painful. Yesterday, the 5th, my dad would have turned 95 if he was still with us. And I'm missing him especially this year, and I'm not sure why. Could be that he's turning 95. Could be that his great-grandson, Eli, is doing extremely well at baseball and would be a connection that my dad would just have loved. I don't know. But I've been pushing it away and had been feeling worse and worse until I realized that. And so I was trying to pretend something wasn't there, and that's hard work. And I think the easiest way for us to not become tired in doing good is not to do less good, but to do the good that we can do at this moment, because we are being true to where we are and who we are at this moment. There are times in our lives, and it doesn't have as much to do with being young as we might think, when we can do lots of things. And when we are in those times, you know, we're doing well, our health is good, and our relationships are good, we can do lots of good things, and we should do lots of good things then. But when we have those other times, when friends of ours are going through challenging times, when our families are, whatever it might be, we need to take that into account, because we're not machines. And we can't just look at what we were at one point and say that should be the norm, because there is no norm. What there is now. And if you are tired now, you should care for yourself as being tired. You should get more rest. You should make sure there's nothing wrong with you. And you should work within yourself, or you'll make yourself more tired and less effective. And this seems obvious, so why would I think I can somehow hang this into scripture? Well, because at the proper time, we will reap this harvest if we don't give up. Does not say at the proper time, we will reap the harvest working at our utmost all of the time. It doesn't say that our harvest will be based on what we accomplished on our best day ever. My counseling professor used to talk about that, and she said, people in general, but Christians in particular, just have so many shoulds in their life. And if you ask somebody to list out what it is that they should do, you'll realize that it would take two or three excellent people to accomplish what they think they should. And it's not that it comes from a place of arrogance or anything else. It comes from a place of seeing needs that we would like to address. It comes from a good place, but it can take us into a bad place. We've got this cultural idea that, it's better to burn out than rust out. Well, sorry, that's a false dichotomy. You don't have to do either one. Take care of yourself and you'll be ticking along for like, well, ask anybody who's got a classic automobile. It's been well cared for. I see cars on the road in Regina at certain times of the year that are older than me, going perfectly well. So what? They didn't burn out. They didn't rust out. Somebody took care of them. As we take care of ourselves, we don't have to choose between those two things either. And when we take care of ourselves, and even more importantly, when we let others care for us, and we let the Holy Spirit care for us, and we let God care for us, we'll find that we don't become tired in the doing good, that we don't become weary, because we're working within the realities of the physical body, the spiritual being, the emotional and the mental state we're in. So sometimes we might be weary, and that's just fine. What did Jesus do when he was weary? He went away and got some rest. Because Jesus knew that he couldn't go full speed all the time, any more than your car can, any more than you can. And so I realized as I was turning this idea over in my head is that a lot of it was directed towards me. That July is not a time for me to take on big projects usually. July is a time for me to zero in on family, which I have been doing more, and I feel much better now than I did even a few days ago. Because that's the reality, that in our family it happens that a lot of very significant life events happened in July. So just live with that. And within that, be the best worker I can be, the best parent, partner, preacher, all of those things. But do it within what actually is. Instead of thinking back to those days when I was 35 and could work for days on end, it seemed, on 2 hours of sleep, if that. Those days were good, but they're gone, and I can't do that anymore. And that's okay. It's okay to be tired and to admit it and to seek rest, which is one of the hardest lessons I have ever had to learn. Because I had to give up this ruthlessness that I had towards my physical body that said I could tell it to do whatever. Well, first of all, that's foolish. And second of all, it's an insult to the Creator who made it. Because we were made for rest. We were made for rhythms. We were made to relate to what actually is around us. And when we do, we are as effective as we can be. And that's all we've ever been asked. There's nowhere in Scripture where we're told to be super beings. But over and over again, we see in the Old Testament and the New, people taking the time they needed so that they could continue to do the work before them. And if that meant rest, if that meant running away from a king trying to kill you, or it just meant going up a mountain where the crowds couldn't find you. Either way, that's the way we don't become weary in doing well, as the King James put it. But instead, we take the rest we need that we might continue to do what we are called to do for this time. To the glory of God. Amen.